my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. And this is our special Friday night program entitled Eden to Eternity. From creation to restoration, we explore God's plan to bring us back to His original design, communion, peace, worship, and the rest He promised. In Matthew 11:28, come unto me and I will give you rest. My name is Emily, your host for today, and joining me as always is my cousin Naomi. And it's a very special day, isn't it, Naomi?
It's officially known as Boxing Day, but it's the day after Christmas, and we just want to welcome you all, those of you who are maybe struggling because you're tired and you've had that great big family celebration. But I know a lot of people that Boxing Day is still a day of continuing the celebration, because you don't just need one day to celebrate the birth of Christ. You can have two. And I know some families, Boxing Day is actually the day when they catch up with their family, or they split it with in-laws. Or so whatever you're doing, if you're traveling around, if you're on holidays, if you're feasting, or maybe you're having leftovers, or whatever it is you're doing, we just want to say happy Christmas and a happy new year to come.
Yes. And here on Drive Time, we've had a very special week, all talking about Christmas and how we see Christ in Christmas. And like what you're saying, Naomi, I think often we leave, I guess, the thinking about and talking about what Jesus has done in coming to this world. You know, it's just a few days or maybe a week in December, but, you know, why can't we talk about it more, like throughout the year or all of December? And so that's why I like to play Christmas songs, you know, early.
She does, everyone. We you probably know we live together, but we also drive everywhere together. We've each got our own car, but we tend to, because we live way down the coast in Adelaide, and so we drive up together and we play hymns. But a few weeks ago, Emily started and said, we've got to have Christmas already. So it was even in November, she was playing Christmas hymns, not just Christmas carols, but Christmas hymns. And some of them, Emily, I had never heard before, and I think we've got some of them on the show today.
Yes,
and one of them, everyone, is her favourite. And you know what? It's become my new favourite. I keep putting it on my playlist and playing it. I just love it. So that's to come.
Yes, so please don't go away. Stay with us the whole 1.5 hours.
That's right, 1.5 hours on this beautiful Christmas night, Sabbath night. And how beautiful that it's, well, Boxing Day night, but it's still Christmas seasons and Sabbath. How nice that that's together. Something very special about that, isn't there?
Yeah, it is. I really think it just makes it, yeah, different and, yeah, really, really special. So, yeah, it's really wonderful to be here and bring Christmas greetings to you all, even though it is Boxing Day. Mm. So look forward to some awesome music tonight, even though it is not Christmas, but I'm sure that you'll be happy to hear, just like I am, to hear Christmas songs after Christmas. So, Naomi, at home or, you know, growing up, how would your family usually celebrate Christmas?
Well, my mum was Irish, so it was always very warm and fun. And my first memories was because we lived in a little country town, grew up in Bickley Valley in Perth, up in the hills, but that's when I was born there. And then we moved to a little town called Southern Cross when I was only 6 weeks old. So I was there till I was five. So my first memory of Christmas is my mum putting presents at the edge of my bed on Christmas Eve. So that was her tradition, because in Ireland they'd hang up their little stocking over the fireplace, and in the morning they'd have their presents. So, and my older sister, who's 4 years older, hello Olivia, if you're listening, she would actually help mum wrap the presents when she was older. So she knew all the stuff that was going to be there. But so we knew pretty early on. I guess I must have spied her there, but I never remember any talk of Santa ever. I don't remember that. I'm pretty sure I never got a photo with Santa or anything like that. I mean, we knew who Santa was, but it wasn't, we knew it was mum and dad. So we knew that that that's where our presence came from, which I kind of like because it's like, well, you know, this strange person gives you gifts, but, you know, your family don't or something. I don't know. It's like kind of strange.
Yeah, there's so much more meaning if it's your someone you love that's giving it to you, isn't it?
So that was that. And then I remember one Christmas looking up, searching. This was when we then moved back to Bickley Valley. So I always know how old I am, when like kind of the memory of what house it is. So I would have probably been, what would I have been? Maybe would I have been 6 or 7? And looking for the presents. So I'd become one of those naughty children. And I remember seeing on the top of Mum's wardrobe, I don't know how I found it, a doll's house. And I was like, yes, because that's what I really wanted, a doll's house. Okay. So, yeah, lots of great memories. Being, you know, Christmas Day was a really, just like Sabbath, it was a really important day. Lots of yummy food and the family, and all my brothers and sisters. There's 4 of us. So, yeah, really beautiful memories. After, though, when my mum and dad had passed away, it's very different. It's very, very different. Mm. And I know people talk about that too, even if they've got their own other families or whatever. But, I think your childhood memories are the ones that are very, very special. But then you can make new memories. How about for you, Emily? What's your favourite memories?
Yeah, well, I know what you're saying. I guess now that I'm older, we don't make such a big deal of Christmas, you know, with presents and stuff, because we have what we need. But it's definitely, there's still something so special about it. But I think one of my favorite memories of Christmas is one particular time when all Dad's family, because he's got a very big family. I don't even know how many sisters he has. I'd have to count them. He's got quite a few sisters and a brother. And so all the aunts and uncles from his side came down to where we live out in the country down south in Western Australia. And, you know, that hadn't really happened before. And so our house was full and the Christmas tree was there and there was so many presents around the Christmas tree and there was so much food and it was just so nice to have everyone there and just, you know, have this opportunity. You know, usually some special thing that has to happen to bring the family together. And so that was really nice that it could happen over Christmas and not like a funeral or something.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? I was reading the other day in a devotional book. I don't think it was Steps to Christ, but it was talking about how we often get together when there's a funeral and say these wonderful things about people that are gone, but really we should do it in when they're together. So in Christmas is the perfect time, or the Christmas holidays as we're in now, isn't it? Perfect time to see people you don't normally see, or, you know, you're not catching up. It's usually like a wedding, a birth, or a funeral, I dare say. But, you know, yeah, this is a really special time of year to be able to catch up with people and create new memories as well. And, I'm very conscious there's probably people listening now who you've actually spent the Christmas alone. And so I just really, think about you now and pray for you now. I know myself, it was actually Christmas, not last year, the year before. By circumstances, I ended up having Christmas alone because people were away and, you know, there was all different sort of circumstances. And I did start to feel a little bit sorry for myself. But then I went, hang on a minute, this is actually good. I've had a very busy year and, hey, I get to sort of stay in one spot and have some, I think I had some lasagna that I'd made the day before or something. But actually, you know, once I got over the, oh, woe is me, poor me, it was actually good. I really enjoyed it. But I know there are people that, you know, the circumstances that you might be spending the Christmas time alone. Heart goes out to you for whatever, because there's usually a reason why, and that's usually harder than just being by yourself. So we really pray for you, and we pray that someone will come into your life that will help you over the season. It might be a neighbor, or, you know, maybe take something to a neighbor and take them something, and I guess to reach out to other people, I would say, but also, you know, go to God, which is what I did. I just spent time reading and praying, and I actually, by the end of the day, I actually had a really good day, because it was, you know, I think we do get very commercial in what this is, and there's a certain way, like we've got to do this and that and buy that and this and that, and there's this, like, a bit, you know, it's really, for your mental health, it's good to sort of be able to know, well, God is good and Jesus is the reason for the season, which is a very sort of neat way of saying it. But today we're actually talking about what has Christ done for you? And that's really our focus tonight, isn't it, Emily?
Yes. But before we go to our topic for tonight, we want to give our listeners an opportunity for our free giveaway. So, Naomi, can you share with our listeners?
Absolutely. You have to get this one. And it's a book by Robbie Bergen. And those of you who are new to Faith FM, you might not have tuned into any of his programs. Go and have a look in the browse section, the podcast. You could listen to all of them over the holidays. And his podcast is called The Faith Experiment, and that is Robbie Bergen. So you go into the browse section if you've got the app or even if you've got it online. And his book tonight is amazing, Finding the Messiah, How to Connect with God. So in the beginning, we know that humanity stood at the pinnacle of creation. They were perfect, balanced, and in complete harmony with God. But one act of disobedience shattered that perfection, and that, as we know, was what Adam and Eve did. And that plunged us into a world of brokenness, selfishness, and sin. This fall from grace left us incapable of resisting even evil of our own, trapped in a battle we could never win and without any, and this is the most important point, divine intervention. So in this book, In Finding Messiah, How to Connect with God, you discover the story of love, so powerful that it bridges the chasm created by sin, reconnecting us with the source of life and light. And you know, listeners, through Christ, the Messiah, we find a pathway to freedom, peace, and the restoration of our hearts. So in this book, Robbie Bergen explores the profound truth that transformation is not achieved through willpower, education, or good intentions, but it's actually through the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. And with an honest look at the human condition, this book invites us to journey toward a true connection with God. So I really invite the listeners, everybody, you know, if you've got time in the holidays, this is the perfect book to read. So the code is SA355 and you want to text that to 0488880811. So that again, that number is 0488880811. And the code is SA355, and that's South Australia 355.
Excellent. Now, listeners, we have our first song for this program.
Great.
And this is Long Ago and Far Away. And this song's quite special to me because my sister and I sang it for a Christmas program at church a couple of years ago.
Aww.
So I would love to share this with you now. Long Ago.
Can I shout out to Ellie?
Yes.
Okay, Ellie, if you're listening, we love you. And she just recently got married. So hello to Ken as well. So Mr. and Mrs. Ken. Hello, Ken and Ellie.
So this is Long Ago and Far Away by the Neblett family.
Music in heaven. worshipped and adored him too. God's promises all came true. Lord Jesus, I love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Music in heaven is begun.
Now his time on earth is through, and there's work for us to do. The gift of his Spirit true, which makes all the all just like new. It is ours to give away to all those we meet today, and heaven will stand and say, it is love that made the way. Jesus, I love you.
And that was the beautiful song, Long Ago and Far Away, sung by the Neblett family. Friends, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we want to extend a very happy Christmas to you all, even though it is Boxing Day. But I think we can still listen to Christmas songs. That's what we've been talking about. We can still celebrate this season because it continues.
It does continue. And I know, like, when my partner and I, Carlo, we were going to be like at his family for Christmas morning and then go up to the hills to my mum, and my mum was like, no, because you'll be tired. You won't be hungry. Just let's do it on Boxing Day. Let's do it another day, because any day is Christmas for us as long as you guys are with us. Oh, so yeah, so we started that tradition, which, was kind of fun. So yeah, Boxing Day can be someone's Christmas right now, because it is. It's a Christmas season, really. And some people meet on Christmas Eve. Some people might meet, you know, I know a family who met a month before because everybody was in Australia and then they were all going. So yeah, whatever your tradition is, we just want to extend a really happy, happy Christmas to you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And, yeah, and just thank you for listening to us. Just thank you for listening to us this year. And we only just started Eat Into Eternity in,
I think it was in May, wasn't it?
In May. Anything may happen in May. We used to say that when my sisters and I were traveling, anything may happen in May. So yeah, that's when it started.
And this is the last Eat Into Eternity for 2025.
Oh, yeah, because did you know it's 2026 next year? Like, that's next just week, crazy. Yeah. That's just like, it's like a futuristic number in a movie. That's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I always have to get used to writing the year, and then and then it's the next year.
That's right. Yeah. So,
yeah, so I'm really thinking about those that are listening, you listeners. Some, you know, people might have different things that go through their minds when they think about Christmas. And we see, you know, out in the supermarkets, the shops and stuff, all the decorations and, you know, the reindeers and the Santas and all this stuff. But what we want to look at first, I guess, to start with, is what is the meaning of Christmas?
Sure. So if we look at scripture, and if we go to Matthew 1, verse 23, it says, and I'm reading from the King James Version, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Isn't that beautiful? Emmanuel, God with us. So Christmas is God stepping into our world. God coming down to our world with hope, with healing, and Emily, with salvation.
Because it was more than just that, you know, the first event that happened, because Jesus then went on to live, didn't he?
Correct. That's right. And then when, if we look at the birth of Jesus being our Saviour, you know, what Christmas does is it reveals God's heart. He came close to us. And Isaiah 9:6, if you've got your Bibles, listeners, on this beautiful Sabbath night, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, and it reads, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, I love that verse, you know, talking about the different names of Jesus and the way to describe him. And it's very interesting what it says about the government will be upon his shoulders. Have you ever thought about what that really means?
Well, that's to do with that he has, you know, when it says even in Our Father who art in heaven, in that beautiful Lord's Prayer, that that we know that God is, you know, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy and thy will be done in heaven as it is on, be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we know the government, the power and the glory rests on him as a just judgment, a just judge.
Yeah, and I've also heard it explained in a slightly different way that there was so much resting on Jesus. Like he was carrying this big burden, and only he could do it. Like he was the only one that could come down because he was, you know, sinless and perfect, that could actually pay the penalty for our sin. So it's
because Jesus is the divine Son, and he carries all our burdens and brings our peace. And, you know, his titles are really interesting, because you think about when, you know, we were little, you don't call people names. You know, don't call people names.
Yeah,
that's mean.
True.
But look at that. Look at all the names. Why should we not call people names? Because, you know, words have power. So here, the his names are powerful, wonderful. Mention being that. Mention that that was your name. You were known as Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Like, just think of those words. All of them are beautiful. That's why we should never take, you know, God's name in vain, or Jesus Christ, say that in vain, because these things are powerful and the Word of God is powerful. So his titles reveal to us his divinity, his mission, and also his redemptive authority.
Wow. Yeah, that is so incredible. And I just love how, like what you were saying with, in Matthew, when it says Emmanuel means God with us, like he literally lived out these titles and these, you know, these roles and these, I guess, not personalities, but like characteristics.
Characteristics. And we all want to have the character of God. And if we have the character of God, then we will emulate people that are wonderful, a counselor to people, as in wisdom. And being people of peace, and but we can't do that on our own. We have to have God with us in our heart, so that we share in His redemption that He's brought for us.
That's so beautiful, and I just love how, you know, we're talking about there can be people in this Christmas season that maybe are alone and celebrating Christmas alone, or just alone, but here, all these different things, it shows us that Jesus is everything that we need. It's all summed up in him. He is our Father, and he is our Counselor, and he's the one that gives us peace, and he's the one that gives us salvation.
That's right. And Jesus was the hope for the world. So Christmas tells me, you know, that darkness does not win. And if we look especially at one of my favourite verses, John 1:9, so John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that comes into the world." So we see here that you know, for Christmas, it's in the gift of Christ that God has poured out all of heaven in one gift. And I want to really understand that in my, you know, my little mind, my pea brain mind, that Jesus Christ is a gift, and that is what God has given us, and it's all of heaven in one gift. Just think of that concept for a moment of what that is, and that's what Christmas is. It's not all this other things of, I mean, it's nice, the Christmas tree and the kids like all the gifts and the carols, and but, you know, really what we want to look at tonight is, you know, what has Christ done for us? And it's not just a little baby that has come. It's actually much bigger than that, and we really want to unpack that tonight.
Yes, definitely. And I just wanted to ask you, Naomi, when you were a child, is this what you thought of Christmas? Did you think of it as Jesus, or was it just what you saw, you know, when you walked down the street?
That's interesting. Well, we had a very Christian home, so we had, you know, worship morning and night and lots of prayers, and definitely it was the baby Jesus coming. And you know, a lot of that, like you say, when you walk down the street, I know in Perth, in the big department stores, they used to have all the Christmas, the window displays, and, you know, they did have nativity scenes. I mean, you don't really see them much now, but it's mainly, you know, very, I guess, very commercial, lots of Santas and lots of decorations, things that are actually, you know, symbols that are not actually connected with the birth of Jesus. So, yeah, there was a lot of memories of that. But in our home, it was definitely, there was a Christmas tree. And, yes, we did celebrate Christmas. People think that Seventh-day Adventists don't, but we do. We don't necessarily agree that this is the time of the year that Jesus was born.
Exactly.
Yep. But that doesn't stop us from celebrating it, because Jesus was born and it was at a different time, we believe, historically, and I think historians as well, because the shepherds would not have been out in the winter. But that's probably a discussion, a bigger discussion for another time. But, yeah, so Seventh-day Adventists do celebrate Christmas because we believe that Jesus came to earth as a gift, as a baby, for a reason, and that's what we're going to unpack tonight.
Yeah, and it's so, I think, a blessing for us that we were able to grow up and have that, you know, that mindset about Christmas.
Yeah, because
wonderful.
Some people, and I know all of our lovely friends in Adelaide, hello to everybody listening, all of our new friends that we've met, who, and some people didn't grow up with anything to do with Christianity, and so it was really just about Santa and the presents. It wasn't actually, there was no Christmas story as we're unpacking tonight. So it's quite new to them, and so it's really lovely to see people discover the real reason of Christmas. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing, Naomi. And now we have some more music for you, and this is quite a well-known one. This is O Holy Night by Life in 3D. O Holy Night.
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine. chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Let ever, ever praise we.
Holy Night by Life in 3D. And I just love their voices in that beautiful rendition of that song. Now, friends, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And all this week here on Drive Time for the Christmas week, we have been looking at seeing Christ in Christmas. And Naomi and I have been talking about what Christmas really means and how it's such a beautiful gift that God gave his son to us. And it's really the ultimate gift. Christmas is a season of gift giving, but Jesus, really, when we really think about it, he is that ultimate gift. And so, Naomi, we want to look at now, if we think about, you know, Christmas, we talk about Jesus coming as a baby. But let's actually look at the why. Well, why did Jesus actually have to come? Why did he come as a baby? Why did he have to come in the first place?
Yeah, that's a great question. If we go to the Bible and look at Luke chapter 19, verse 10. So Luke 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost."
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful? So That's why God sent Jesus, to save, to heal, to restore, and reveal the Father. And when we think about our program, it's called Eden to Eternity. So that's about creation to restoration. And so Jesus came here to save us and to restore us and to heal us and to show the Father, like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what he said to the disciples. And the ultimate thing is that it's also just to show us God's love. And if I were to just to finish the program now and say, what is Christmas? Christmas is love.
Mm.
That's really what it is. Why did Jesus come as a baby, leave heaven and come to this lowly earth to be born in a very humble, basically a barn with animals? Just think about that today. Oh, the degradation. If a lady today had to do that, and that was the King of Kings. So ultimately, for me, Christmas is is about love. And if we look that Christmas is ultimately a love story, there's many, many movies about a love story, but none of them usually end very well. But this is going to end so well. It'll be triumphant, won't it? It started very lowly, in the most humble way, but in the end, it'll be this amazing second coming of Jesus Christ, the biggest event ever in eternity.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I love how you brought it back to Eden to eternity, because that's like that's the big picture, and that's everything falls into that plan and that desire of God just to bring everything back to restore all things. And as you were talking, I was thinking, well, you know, this is actually for everyone, isn't it? Every single person, it's relevant for them, and it applies to them, God's love.
Well, that's so true, because I was just thinking as you were talking before the song about, you know, people who don't celebrate Christmas. You know, I've got friends who are Hindu or Muslim, or perhaps, you know, they don't celebrate Christmas, Jewish people as well. But, you know, Jesus Christ came to the earth as a baby and died on the cross for everybody.
No one's exempt. No one.
No. It's like when we'd wake up. We had a tradition at home. My mum said, I think it was because of, I don't know if it was what her tradition at home, but it became ours, that Christmas Eve we were all allowed to open one present. I think that was because we really want to open all of them, but she was a very kind and loving person. So you were allowed to open one, and it'd be like, well, which one's mine? Which one's mine? We'd kind of work out, and then my brother would always feel all the presents and shake them and find out what was in them. But you know what? Under the tree, when you'd go, oh, which was my gift? Do I have a gift? Well, guess what? This gift is for everyone. So when you're wondering, what am I going to get so-and-so, or what shall I get for my dad, or what should you get for your husband or your brother or your wife, or guess what? God knew the ultimate gift to get everybody, which was eternal life.
There's nothing greater, isn't there?
There's no better gift. And, you know, to share that gift with other people, those of you now who are sitting comfortably at home and you've had a lovely Christmas day yesterday, and, you know, you're looking to a nice, bright future of a job or a, you know, a cozy family, maybe just be thinking about, wow, what gift can I give this season, this holiday season, this Christmas season? You can give the gift of life. Not by laying down your life, but by telling others about the gift that has already been given. And remember, if there is a gift under the tree, sometimes there's always one little gift and it's like, well, hang on, somebody didn't get their gift. It doesn't stay there long usually.
No.
But, you know, that gift is waiting there for many people who, and a gift is not a gift until you accept it. It's just a box under a tree. You know, that's wrapped beautifully. It's not a gift yet until you open and go, oh, wow, thank you. So I would challenge all of us tonight, to really think about, who do I know, or who do I not know yet, who doesn't know about this gift that Jesus Christ has already given, and it's waiting to be picked up, waiting to be accepted. And there are many people out there who don't know this. They don't actually know about this beautiful Christmas. They don't really know what it is really, this gift of Christmas.
Yeah, and when you were talking about love, it was reminding me of 1 John, because 1 John talks a lot about love and God's love and our love for one another. And it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. And he that loveth not doesn't know God, for God is love."
Wow, so he that loveth not does not know God.
Yeah. And wow. So you're talking about sharing God. Well, that's what it means to love and to have God's love, because he is the love. He is the source of love.
Mm.
So when we are connected with God, and when we know God, then his love comes into our heart, and the natural thing is that we want to share it, and that's how we love other people.
Mm. That's like when, you know, if people get married and they have children, they have this natural just love that just flows on, and they get a puppy and they've got the whole love triangle of the family, each other, and God. And that's what's the ultimate, isn't it? Because God doesn't just have love. God is love. You think about it, Christmas, don't add up everything you've spent, everybody. But often, you know, let's say Emily needed $100. And she came to me and said, oh, I really need $100. Okay, here you go. I'll give you $100.
Oh, thank you.
And then next week she does the same, and the next and the next and the next. And if I've only got $1,000 in the bank, that's all I've got. After 10 weeks, how much will I have, listeners?
None.
That's right, zero. And so, but that's not God. You see, when we take love from him, he gives us love. He's never going to be bankrupt. He is never going to run out because he is the Bank of England of love. He actually is love, not that he has love. And I'm really reminded of John 3:16, and I've got it open here. I do know it off by heart, but I'm going to read it to you. For God so loved the world, and read it with me, everyone. I know that you know it, and those of you don't, we're in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. So, isn't that a big word? It's so little, but it's so big. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but, that's a big but, isn't it, have everlasting life. And that's what the Christmas story is. It's the ultimate love story, that God loved us so very, very much that he gave his Son for us. And that's absolutely extraordinary, because to do that, Jesus paid the penalty for sin. And we know that Christ is heaven's gift of life. So it's not just that we're given a gift because a baby was born. He gave his gift of life. And we think very much of that verse, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift, there it is again, another gift, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that's Romans 6:23. But we only get that gift because Jesus came down and as a baby left heaven and died for us. But do we really know what the seriousness of sin is? Do we really understand it?
I don't think so. No.
Because see, sin, what is sin? It separates us from the source of life. So that will separate us from this gift. So it'd be like not turning up for Christmas with your family because you're in a huff, or you've been hurt, or you don't want to go there, or maybe you're in another country. So a separation keeps us from the source of life. And what is that separation? It's sin. That's a really good way of understanding. I know for me to understand, well, what is sin? It's what separates you. Just like ocean separates us from our loved ones at Christmas. And in Isaiah 59:2, it tells us, Emily, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. There it is in the Bible.
Yep.
So sin's a hateful thing. But you know what? Christ came to save us because he paid that penalty for us. And, you know, we look at how Jesus, he lived the life of humanity. Why? Why did he do that? He did it because then we can see, wow, Jesus knows our struggles from experience. Otherwise, it'd be, oh, well, this God came down and he lived. But he, you know, he could make everything perfect and he didn't have to struggle. And in Hebrews 4:14-16, it tells us, but Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. So you see there, this is such a beautiful verse. So that's Hebrews 4:14-16. It tells us that his real humanity allowed him to sympathize and strengthen us.
Yeah, I just love that, how Jesus came and he lived his entire life from a child. And yeah, that verse in Hebrews just sums it up beautifully, that he is then our high priest and he's able to intercede for us because he knows all things.
Beautiful.
That's so wonderful. Now, friends, I've got another song to share
with
you.
She's so happy. Can you hear it in her voice? She just loves putting this together. And we have had Christmas songs for weeks preparing for this. So I'm being very blessed.
So Do You Have Room? This is the song. And I just wanted to read some of the lyrics.
This is your favourite one?
One of my favourite ones. Favorite. One of them.
Okay, one.
And my sister and I also sang this one a few years ago. And it says, they journeyed far, a weary pair, they sought for shelter from the cold night air, some place where she could lay her head, where she could give her babe a quiet bed. Was there no room, no corner there, in all the town a spot someone could spare? Was there no soul come to their aid? A stable bare was where the family stayed. And then the chorus goes into talking about how us, do we have room for the Saviour in our hearts? Do we seek him anew? Have we a place for the one who lived and died for you?
Well, I never thought of that, that do we have a place, a room for Jesus in our heart? I never ever put that together. There was no room at the inn.
Mm.
And we go, oh, how terrible. But hang on a minute. He wants to live in us, in our hearts, and we have no room because there's too many Xboxes, iPhones, movies, cars, trips, you know, parties, or whatever, concerts, whatever's taking up our time. Wow. Mm.
And it's exactly what you were talking about before, like the gift that he has, and it's waiting there under the Christmas tree, we could say.
Mm.
Just like this, do we have room for Jesus? Are we willing to let go of those other things so that he can come into our heart?
Mm.
And so let's listen to this song, Do You Have Room?
They journeyed far, a weary pair. They sought for shelter from the cold night air, some place where she could lay her head, where she could give her babe a quiet bed. Was there no room, no corner there, in all the town a spot someone could spare? Was there no soul come to their aid? A stable bare was where the family stayed. For the one who lived and died for you, are you as humble as a shepherd boy, or as wise as men of old? Would you have come that night? Would you have sought the light? Do you have room? Do you? Will you come tonight?
was Do You Have Room, sung by Eclipse Six. Now, friends, welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And tonight is our special Friday night program, Eat Into Eternity, but it's also Boxing Day. So we're talking all about Christmas and Jesus and what he has done for us. And this week on Drive Time, it's been about seeing Christ in Christmas. And tonight we are looking about what has Christ done for us. Now, Naomi, we've been talking about, you know, why, what Christmas means, why Jesus came, and that it really shows us God's love and that Jesus paid the penalty for sin, which was death. Now, let's look at why is Christmas, why is it still relevant for us? Like, does it actually matter?
Well, that's interesting. Does it really matter? Well, if we look at the beautiful verse in Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So what that tells me is that if Jesus left his beautiful heavenly home and came down into a manger to be born and live in the dusty plains of Palestine and be tempted and be had hardship and to die on the cross, it means that that still exists today. Who he was then is who he was before he came and who he is now, because he doesn't change. And if the Bible is true, then that is true. And the truth is that Jesus still saves and helps us today. And so it's very relevant to us because it's a reminder. And as I said before, that I don't necessarily believe that Jesus was born on the 25th of December, but I still celebrate it because it is a reminder. Like Sabbath is a memorial of creation, a memorial of God's as the creator. Well, Christmas is a reminder for us all that Jesus came as a baby and lived a life and a death that we should have had, so we can have the life that he deserves.
That's so good. And I love what you're saying there. It reminded me of a verse in Revelation. And we know Revelation, it is talking about the time leading up to Jesus' second coming. And this verse says in Revelation 14, verse 6, that an angel was flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto those that dwell on the earth, every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. So it's saying we get everlasting life, but we also, it is through the everlasting gospel, which means it never changes. It's always here, even today, and it's for everyone.
That's right. And that's why Christmas matters to us today. Why is it relevant to us today, people? Because we all need the gospel now, and Christmas tells of the great story of Jesus Christ. It reminds us that we all need forgiveness, we all need strength, and we all need hope. And I'm reminded of the verse Romans 1:16, which says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." So Jesus coming down and being born and then crucified and resurrected and gone to heaven, if that's the plan of salvation. So the gospel is in the Christmas story. It's not just a baby born. You have to, you know, be like, you've probably seen the movie Forrest Gump. I'm showing my age, aren't I? That movie that, you know, went from the beginning to the end of Forrest Gump's life. What an amazing story, fictitious as it was. But it didn't just tell of the young man who had difficulties and disabilities. No, it told his whole life. That was the story. It wouldn't be the story without everything of how he overcame all the obstacles to be very successful and to be such a changing a character in that film. So just the same as Jesus being born, that's not just about the baby.
That's so true.
It's about the gospel, that it actually shows a mirror to us of what we need, which is that we need God's love and salvation. It's a reminder of what is important, really, isn't it? Because we've all been running around for a couple of weeks, or maybe there, I know people who start doing it in January or November. And
well, we're always busy, aren't we, with something.
But yeah, but for Christmas particularly, I know there's some really organized people who buy things in January sales, and that's a terrific gift. It's not my gift, but I'm not good at things like
very
that.
Good
or starting very good plans. Or starting in November, that's not me. But Christmas resets our priorities. Because to me, if it mirrors what the gospel is and this plan of salvation, then Matthew 6:33 totally emulates what that is and shows us that vividly. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't that interesting? So if you accept the plan of salvation, accept Jesus, you actually don't need anything, because all these things will be added unto you that we do really need, which is the love of God, the peace of God, and the forgiveness of our sins for eternity living with him.
That's right. And even the Bible says that God is our provider. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to worry about even like where we're going to live. Like Naomi and I, we need to look for somewhere to live next year, but we're not worrying about it because
we know
God will
But shout
provide.
Out to anybody who might have an Airbnb that you, or maybe you need a house sit in Adelaide in the hills. So that's just a little reminder of what's to come for us in when we come back to Adelaide in the new year. But, you know, if I want to know a reminder of God's love, it's Christmas, huh?
True, true.
Very true. John 1:4-9 tells us that, you know, it's a manifestation of the love of God towards us. And it also tells us, you know what, you matter deeply to God. That's what Christmas tells me. It's a reminder of God's love, infinite love, that he would send away. Think of you guys, if you've just got a new baby, and I know there's a few people that I know have got new babies. I know Laura, my niece Jo, her sister-in-law Laura's just had a little boy. And so imagine if she sent that baby away. That's what God did. He sent away his son to be a baby and to live here. And so it's also then a reminder of God's power, that nothing is impossible with him. And Luke 1:13 tells us that, doesn't it? It tells us, for with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Wow. Yeah, it's so amazing when you just think about how all-powerful God is. And even though he is all-powerful, he is also so, you know, he's so personal. He wants to be so personal with us and so intimate with us.
And he didn't just, as a, you know, God didn't just send his son just for the whole world. He would have sent Jesus just for one person. It would have been just for you, Emily, just for me, or just for one of our listeners out there.
Yeah, like, each one of us.
And it gives a personal God. That's why God is the God of love, because he is a personal God. He cares about everything that you need, not want under the Christmas tree, but need.
Yes, that's right. And yeah, we're going to continue talking about that, but we have now my favorite Christmas song.
And is this the one that you played me a while ago in the car and I'd never heard it before?
Yes, okay. When Love Was Born, it is called. And yeah, I just want you to enjoy the melody and enjoy the words as well. And I love how the very last two lines of verse 4, it says, the world was changed forevermore when love was born.
Can I just say to the listeners that there's a caveat, a warning on this song, because this is going to become your new favorite song and you're going to drive other people mad just playing it all the time, because I love this now. I love this one all the time.
And this is sung by Fountain View Academy, which I believe is the best version. So here is When Love Was Born.
Starlight shines, the night is still, shepherd. Close my eyes and see the night when love was born. Perfect child gently wakes, a mother bends to kiss God's face. I close my eyes and see the night. Oh,
that was When Love Was Born by Fountain View Academy, one of my favourites, that's for sure. Or maybe the favourite.
It's so beautiful, yes. Isn't it? And I just, yeah, I'd never heard that before. I just love it. Thank you, Emily.
So good. So, friends, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we just want to welcome you if you've just joined us.
And say happy Christmas.
Yes.
Happy Christmas
season.
Even
though it's Boxing Day.
That's right.
But it's still the Christmas season.
It is. And it could be your Christmas day with your alternate family, your in-laws, or you might have done a lot yesterday, or, you know, so it's kind of, we mix it up, don't we?
Yeah.
Like, happy Christmas.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
On this beautiful Sabbath night.
That's right. And so it's extra, extra special. Now, Naomi, we do have a free giveaway for all our Faith FM listeners. Could you share this with our listeners again?
Definitely. It's so beautiful. And it is by Robbie Bergen, this book, Finding the Messiah, How to Connect with God. And that's what Christmas is to me. We're connecting with God because it was our Messiah who came to earth. So this beautiful book, it talks about that in the beginning, humanity stood at the pinnacle of creation, perfect, balanced, and in complete harmony with God. But one act of disobedience shattered that perfection, plunging us into a world of brokenness, selfishness, and sin. This fall from grace left us incapable of resisting evil on our own. So we were trapped in a battle we could never win without divine intervention. And people, that is why Jesus came to the earth. That's the reason for the season. And in this book, in Finding the Messiah, How to Connect with God, we discover the story that we've been talking about tonight, listeners, the story of love. So powerful that it bridges the chasm of the great sin that was caused to reconnect us with the greatest source of life and light. Through Christ the Messiah, we find a pathway to freedom, peace, and the restoration of our hearts. We explore the profound truth that transforms us. And it's not achieved through willpower, education, or good intentions, people, but only through the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. So if you want this book, and I know that you do, I know you've probably got lots and lots of gifts, but how about one more gift for Christmas?
This is our Christmas gift to you.
Yes, our Christmas gift to you. Good. And if you know what? You can get it and give it as a gift to someone else. You can read it and re-gift it. Oh, I shouldn't say that, should I? But it's a sharing book as well. So 0488880811 is our Drive Time Eden to Eternity number. That's 0488880811. And the code, listeners, tonight is SA355. So that's South Australia 355. SA355. No dots or dashes or gaps. You have to put that code in, SA355, and text it to our Drive Time number 0488880811, and that will get to you as quickly as possible once our dear people in the office are back in the office after the Christmas break.
Yes, excellent. So, friends, we've been discussing about Christmas and why Jesus actually had to come to this earth. And we've been looking at how Jesus, he died for us, and he was the ultimate gift, giving us that the gospel and that opportunity to accept him, just like it says in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son to die so that we could have everlasting life. And so, Naomi, we want to look, kind of come a little bit closer to our personal lives and really ask that specific question that we want to look at for tonight, which is, what has Christ done for you? What personal things in your life have you seen him work?
Personally for me, or for the listeners in general? A bit of both.
Yeah, I guess for, you know, like, what things, how has he impacted your life, and how can he impact our listeners' life?
Mm. Well, I know I think of the verse John 14:27, where it says, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you." And so I know when I came back to God that I had a peace that passes all understanding that I've read in the Bible and I'd heard as a song growing up. So what Christ has done for me is peace and joy. And that's what Christmas time brings for people. But when Christmas goes, how down do some people feel? There's an emptiness. I know myself, I've felt it when you're rushing around and suddenly, oh, it's over and now you're feeling a bit glum. But you know what? The peace and joy of Jesus Christ, which is the real reason for Christmas, is eternal. It will never leave you. And that hope, which is God's plan for a future. So the reason there's so much depression in the world is the hopelessness that people feel. And I know for me, you know, when my mum passed away, as one of my good friends, Peter, said, that came along and, you know, he was doing Bible studies with us in Perth. And he said, like, I remember your mum's funeral. It was sad, but there was such joy and hope. I'd never seen that in a funeral before. And so that is true, because why is that? Because yes, it's sad that she had gone, but we know we will see her on that resurrection morning. And we know that God wants everything, every plan he has for you is for good, for joy and love, because he loves us eternally. Just as you love your children, you've all given them beautiful gifts for Christmas and they've given you. And, Jeremiah 29:11 sums it up so beautifully, as some of you may know this verse, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord. And in other versions it says, I know the plans I have for you. And so we know God wants a beautiful future for us. And he also, you know, what has Christ done for me? He's given me guidance and wisdom that I don't have. You know, there's a beautiful verse in the Bible that says, be harmless as doves and wise as serpents. And it could be the other way around, is it?
Yeah, it is. But yeah, that's the idea.
I can tell by her face. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And why are snakes wise? Because, you know, their belly is where they feel the ground and have emotion. So they hear you coming and they run quickly away. So the wisdom, we know that, like in Psalm 32:8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. Now, if you've ever been to a fortune teller or a palmist, which I have in the past, or what's my future going to be? And we'll all be reading our star signs for next year. I used to read mine, Scorpio, but I don't do that anymore. I used to believe that. How ridiculous. I've been growing up in a Seventh Adventist family and believe that. I still can't believe that. I did believe that. Mm. So I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you will go. So for 2026, like we're praying for a house, because we've had a beautiful house for 2 years in Adelaide, and the family that has let us rent it for a very cheap rent have been so kind to us. But we know the next house is going to be amazing, because God is all powerful, and here he's told us he will guide us, and that he wants to plan our future. He already knows it. So we know that for God, what has Christ done for me? He's given me everything. Guidance, wisdom, peace, joy. You know, if we were to start, put that in a card, people go, oh, thank you, that's what I want. But we already know it's in there. Open the Bible. Just as you've opened all your gifts, you've opened all your cards. Oh, what are they going to say? Well, open the Bible and I can tell you what God is telling you in there is the truth, and it's beautiful. Christ is the source of every right impulse, and that's from Steps to Christ, one of my favorite books. Christ is the source of every right impulse. And you know, the other thing that Christmas reminds me of, and what Christ has done for me, is the Sabbath. And we are coming into the Sabbath house, you know, all around Australia. And tonight being Friday night, Boxing Day, Friday night, Sabbath, you know, the Sabbath, it's so amazing, because Sabbath and Christmas, to me, they both celebrate God as the creator and the life giver. So look at it. If you look at it, listeners, Christmas was celebrating the creator entering his creation, God becoming man. Well, guess what? Sabbath celebrates the creator finishing his creation and blessing humanity. And together they remind us that life comes from God alone, and he is both the maker and the redeemer. And that's why I just think, wow, how wonderful that tonight we got the Christmas program on Sabbath night. That is so wonderful, because both God's love is the revealing of God's love is made personal for Christmas and Sabbath. Because if you look at it, Emily, Christmas shows God came near to us, Jesus in human flesh, and Sabbath shows God desiring time with us to be near us. Every single week, every 7 days, he wants to be near us And both of these reveal, to me, it really reveals God who wants a relationship, not a distance. So God came down from heaven to be close to us with the birth of Jesus. And then Sabbath every week comes close to us, but we have to choose to actually come close to him. In both of them, Sabbath and Christmas, there's so many wonderful links. They both tell us the story of rest, both physical and spiritual. So if you look at it, listeners, Christmas reveals Jesus as the one who gives true rest to the weary. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he rested in a manger. And as a child, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath and as an adult. And we know that Sabbath gives us a weekly rest for the body, mind, and soul. We're all looking forward to the holidays, you know, to have a rest. But guess what? Once a week, on the seventh day, it points us to rest in Christ himself. That true rest is found in Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath. And, you know, the Christmas to me, it's such a beautiful time. And Sabbath, you know, that comes around once a year, but Sabbath comes around once a week. And both of them announce salvation. They're both telling us God, what God is doing for us, what we cannot do for ourselves.
That's
so
true.
In Christmas, Jesus was born to save us. And with the Sabbath, it's a weekly reminder we cannot save ourselves. We need to rest in his finished work. And interestingly, both of them point to Christ as our only hope. And it's not about the presence. It's about Jesus and the hope of his glory and about eternal life. And, you know, I really believe that Christmas time is a wonderful way to pause for the year. When you think about it, everybody stops. Even people who don't believe in God or Christmas or might have a different faith, everything closes. So when you look at it, it's a great pausing time, and so is the Sabbath. But I guess the ultimate, though, Emily, is both of them, both Sabbath and Christmas, they point to the second coming. So Christmas celebrates Jesus' first coming in humility, and the Sabbath points to his second coming in glory, celebrating both, preparing us both for humanity to go to heaven and to give our hearts for his return. So the Sabbath and Christmas celebrate the second coming.
Yeah, I love those correlations. It's just amazing. And I guess we think about like what Christ has done for us. It might, you know, things might not go perfectly how we want them to go, but I think the thing to remember for me at least is that Jesus is always there. He's always with us. And the Sabbath reminds us of that, that he is the one that's all-powerful and that ultimately he's going to bring an end to the terrible, sinful things that happen on this earth. And I know for me, you know, I can get tired and wonder how I'm going to get through the week. But that kind of reminds me of a verse in Isaiah 40, verse 29. It says, "And he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And so that is actually, it's for real. It's not just nice words. Like, I've experienced that. When you rely on God, that he actually gives you strength, and you look back and like, how did I do that? Well, it wasn't me that was doing it.
It's through God, and that's why it's wonderful to dwell on beautiful verses like you've just read and also Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God." And don't you want to be there? We're all clamoring to be there on his birthday, but we also want to be there on the day once a week when we can come and not just get the gifts of Christmas once a year, but get the gift of eternity in the temple of time, which is Sabbath. Once a week to rest in Jesus Christ and to live close and dwell with him, which is why he came to earth, to dwell with us, Emmanuel.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, listeners, we really invite you to ponder these things on this evening, this Friday evening, after Christmas has happening, or it's, you know, still happening. And another song that I want to play, which will be our last song for this Drive Time program, which is Isn't That Why He Came? And just listen to the chorus. It says, Isn't that why he came, a poor lost world to save, to carry all our shame and heal the hurt away, bring hope to the hopeless, shield them from the blame. Oh, isn't that why he came? And so let's hear this live rendition by Fountain View Academy also, which is Isn't That Why He Came?
Born in Bethlehem's tiny crowded town, raised in Nazareth, a king without a crown. He sat with sinners, the lowly and the lame. Some didn't understand, but he was not ashamed. Isn't that why he came? A poor lost world to carry all our shame and heal the hurt away. Bring hope to the hopeless, shield them from the blame. Oh, isn't that why he came? Dressed in and abused. Only heaven knows the things that he's been through. It would have been easier to turn and walk away, but Calvary compels our hearts to
That Why He Came by Fountain View Academy. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. Tonight is our special Friday night program, Eden to Eternity, and this is where we explore God's original plan of rest and peace for us. And tonight we've been talking about what Christ has done for you and all about Christmas. It is Boxing Day, but we've been talking about what Christmas means for us. And so, Naomi, as we come to the close of our show for tonight, can we look at what would we really like our listeners to know before we go?
God is love. Quite simply, God is love. Christ came not only to Bethlehem, but to your heart today to forgive, to restore, to guide, and ultimately to save us. And if we look at the verse Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. And we know that, we know in the story of Bethlehem that, as Desire of Ages tells us, the story of Bethlehem is an exhaustless theme. In it is hidden the depth of the riches of the love of God. And that's really what Christmas is, just like how Sabbath is. You know, together, Christmas and the Sabbath, they tell the same story, one story, that a God who refuses to leave us alone in this dark world, a God who entered our world, stays with us and wants to lead us home. And Jesus' birth shows us that the lengths that heaven will go to save each and every one of us, and that the Sabbath shows us the depth of God's desire to be with us, to dwell with us in his temple of time. And both of these, they really whisper the same promise, Emily. They whisper to us, and this is for our dear listeners, that you are loved more than you know. You are remembered and you are invited home. And all you need to do this season is draw close to God, the one who created you, the one who redeemed you. And this is a rescue mission because Jesus Christ is coming again. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we just love you, Father. We thank you for sending your beautiful Son to earth as a baby in a lowly, humble manger and living a life and being crucified for us, paying the penalty for us. He died so that we won't die, that we will have eternal life. Lord, we just thank you for this, and we just ask a special prayer for each and every head bowed that is listening around Australia tonight, Sabbath night on the end of the Christmas week. And we just ask a special blessing for them, for their health. Please bless their family, bless their finances, bless their jobs, bless their need of a job, their need of health. And Lord, bless them going into the year 2026, that you will be with them, Lord, and that you will never leave us or forsake us, because you tell us, Lord, that you loved us so. And that's why you sent Jesus to the earth to die for us, but first as a baby at this Christmas time that we celebrate. So we thank you, Father, and we just ask all of this, that you cover us in the righteous blood of Jesus Christ that was spilt so innocently at Calvary. We ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us, listeners, and we look forward to talking to you in the new year. From creation to restoration, this is Eden to eternity. Until next time, rest in the promise in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me and I will give you rest.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.